Welcome, everybody. Hi, my name is Rod Francis. I'm head of coaching faculty at the Human Potential Institute. I think I know quite a few of you here, but not everybody. For those of you who don't know me, I'm also really the creator of emergent coaching as a model. And it's really delightful to be able to spend some time here to... My camera is playing up. Let's hope this doesn't continue. Oh, let's come back. And, there we are. So, I'd love to just be able to offer some clarity, if that's at all possible. And let's certainly hope that it is, on the emergent coaching model. And I'm here to respond to any questions you might have that you might need clarification on. But just the way we like to run these calls is I'll talk very briefly about the underpinning philosophy, I guess, of it. I'll give a little overview of how the program's laid out, and then I'll just open it up for questions. And I'm sure there'll be some areas that you might need a little bit more information about. So I'll be happy to offer those, and we'll stay on the call up till the top of the hour, so up till 4 p.m. Eastern. That'll be 1 p.m. Pacific. So this is a brand new offer for us. So it's not like I have a whole lot of preparation or a lot of practice to go into this call. But I'd love to just give a sense of what's informed this. And certainly anyone who's been through our Human Potential Coach training will see a lot of the pieces evolved into this more advanced level coach training program. The kind of philosophy, as I've been exploring it more and more, is really very much related to how there's been a prevailing kind of cybernetic view of change for us as humans. And cybernetics is very much about machine models, so that we can program things, you know, like machines. And it really belongs very much to the behaviorist school of psychology. It was really prevalent in the early part of last century. Even though cybernetics has certainly grown beyond that and has really informed the field of AI and robotics, but it seems to be, there's been a new field of emerging cognitive science called the embodied mind and embodied cognition, which really points to the fact that humans, you know, are certainly not machines. We're not wired that way, we're not programmed that way, and we don't function that way. And so to think that we can just easily do a top-down program in order to create change is missing a whole lot. One of the other areas that really caught my attention was when I came across a piece of information from one of the leading cognitive scientists, a man called George Lakoff, who co-authored a book with another researcher called Mark Johnson, called Philosophy in the Flesh. And Lakoff says that for cognitive scientists, they believe that a minimum of 95% of our processing is happening in the subconscious. So thought processing and so forth is happening down there. And suddenly it seemed to make sense that if we're trying to create change just in this conscious realm, and we've got 95% of our processing minimum that could potentially be operating in another direction, then a real sense of sustained change seems like we're swimming against the stream. What really seemed to happen was for me that I came across a whole lot of other methodologies that were exploring this same territory. How do we contact this area of subconscious? How do we actually work with that? And how do we not just try and create a top-down change, but one that's happening also bottom-up? Because the reality is that we humans are vast, diffuse, self-organizing principles, we could say. You're a collation of 37.2 trillion single organisms called cells that have somehow come together and formed a consciousness. And these are a self-organizing principle that is constantly seeking to improve, to harmonize, and to evolve into something better. And so that there are ways of being in relationship to this self-organizing principle And it's these ways of being in relationship to that that we explore through the field of emergent coaching. One of the key ones of those is a piece of work called Focusing, which was developed by a now dead professor of philosophy from Chicago University called Eugene Gendlin. I can certainly talk more about that, and I can talk forever about all of this, and I'm very excited about this. But these are many of the pieces, and there's many other pieces that form this piece of emergent coaching. And what we're bringing here now in emergent coaching as an advanced offer is really more relating to how we engage change in a far more organic fashion, a more whole fashion. And that's predicated on some of these strategies that we'll be teaching over it, and also the way the way we show up and the way that we invite the client to show up. So we engage more in that in the emergent model rather than simply going in to learn more of the coaching arc. So this is not, we take as understood that people understand how to coach. What we do teach in this is what we call the markers of a PCC level coach. So these are advanced level markers of coaching. So, you know, why would someone take this on? Why would someone want to take this program? So, well, first of all, you're going to learn a ton of powerful techniques and strategies to harness this incredible capacity for insight, creativity, and embodied change in your clients, but also in yourself. And you're also going to learn alongside that the vast body of research that's informing this work. And some of it's been unfolding over some time, but some of it is really at the cutting edge, particularly this multidisciplinary domain of science called cognitive science, which is drawing together many, many disciplines in order to inform this understanding of us as humans. And what's really interesting about this field of cognitive science is it's also informing the newest generation of robotics and AI. It's quite a fascinating area. Another reason to come is that you are going to grow and change yourself. It's something that all of you have come through our training already understand that in our trainings, they're not just a whole bunch of strategies and techniques and professional skills we teach you to go out and just kind of apply somewhere. We invite you into that space of change yourself. It's absolutely vital to these kind of coaching methodologies to do so. And, you know, there's another thing that comes with this, which is it's really emerging for me that this program emerges, it iterates and it grows, just as this whole body of work does. And so that people that come into this kind of work, and we've seen this with people who come into the Be Empowered retreat program, that they all become part of a kind of organic iteration and emergent growth of the program itself, so that it actually grows and develops within our own participation. So let me give you a sense of the structure of the program. We have a module that goes out to people as soon as they sign up, and it's called a pre-work module. If you're already a human potential coach, you recognize a lot of this material because it's simply designed largely to bring people who are not coming through our training to be able to understand the model that we coach in and what that might look like and what some of the key pieces of that are. So when they come into the emergent program, they're already conversant with some of the key areas that we bring into our model. Alongside that, we also make available, so human potential coaches will also get that, but of course you don't have to complete it. It's there for just simply for reference if you'd like. Non-human potential coaches, people who haven't been through our program, you will need to complete this to certify with us and show that you've completed it. It's an online program. There's nothing live about it apart from your own participation. We do have a live mindfulness training, and we do invite people. It's a request. It's for certification. Everybody must have completed our 8-week mindfulness training. You may already have practices. You may already have a mindfulness practice, but it's still a requirement of us that we come together and understand what we're all practicing together is mindfulness, because the practice of mindfulness or mindful presence or embodied mindful presence is a key capacity for an emergent coach, and one that will absolutely set you up for success with a model such as this. Then we move into, we have three modules then, Emergent 1, Emergent 2, and Emergent 3. Emergent 1 really explores the sciences and practices of transformation. There are six modules in that. There will be six live classes with that. And at the end of that, class 7 is actually a small group mentoring session where I come in with people and we mentor around the emergent coaching arc and some of the skills around that. So we get to work together in smaller groups live. Emergent 2 is where we bring this work of Eugene Gendlin to bear, and we explore focusing and coaching. And focusing's been around for quite some time. Gendlin created this following his remarkable work with the founder of person-centered psychotherapy, Carl Rogers. And to my knowledge, it hasn't been integrated into a coaching program, though there are focusing-oriented coaches certainly working in the world. We are working with Charlotte Howarth, who we're delighted to be doing so. Charlotte was a former science writer, a psychotherapist, but someone who's been involved in the field of focusing and focusing-oriented psychotherapy for many, many years, and has been for a number of years leading the 2-year certification program with the International Focusing Institute. So she is developing that, and we will be running that part of the program together. That will be 8 sessions, and we'll also include have 8 live calls. And then we have Emergent 3, the module of that, which is largely built around the 4-day immersive retreat we run currently in North Georgia. There may be some other options coming online, but we're just going to have to feel our way into that as we go forward. And each of these modules can be taken separately, or you can take the whole program together. You don't have to take them in order. It's been designed in a way that you can take these in this completely modular fashion, take them at your own time. There will be some cost saving if you take the program all as a complete package. I believe there are some really good early bird offers on at the moment. So the one thing with the prices that we're showing for you guys, that will not cover the accommodation costs and your travel costs, of course, for the retreat. But there we have parameters for that. And they're shared with you, I believe, in the curriculum guide, which is downloadable from our site. And then finally, if you want to move towards certification, we actually have a separate model for certification. And you would need to have completed at least two courses of Emergent, and then have begun your third course, your third part of Emergent, so 1, 2, and 3. And then you can apply to us for certification. There'll be a fee of $350 for certification. You will need to submit a recording with that, and there's a little bit of content, and you will also need to submit a completed log demonstrating your attendance on all the calls and so forth. So I think at this point, I would really like to just open up for any Q&A, or if you'd like me to expand on any more of these areas, I'm also really, really happy to do so. But I'd love to hear what you would like to hear at this point. And you can always type that in the chat, which is, if you go down the bottom, there's a little chat function. It'll open up a sidebar on the right-hand side, and you can chat any questions into there. Or you can always just unmute yourself and jump in and ask me any questions.
Rod, how you doing?
Hi there.
So it sounds like the majority of this program is quite different, mostly new material from the Mistral 2019 that I've just gone through, right? It sounds like there's a few things similar, but most would be pretty new.
It's completely new.
Okay.
You will recognize where there'll be talk, say, about embodied cognition, or we'll talk about presence, or and there'll be somatic work and so forth, but none of it. The only pieces you would see replicated would be in the pre-work section, which, as I said, is for mainly for non-HPCs to bring them up to speed. So we've used that content in there. But everything, it's all completely new content.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Hi, Rod.
Hey, Dante.
Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you as well.
So how long does this program runs for?
From end to end, you would take, so it will start around the middle of January is when we start all the main calls and the material will be dripped out. And the retreat happens on Labor Day. So if you began and ran all the way through, the retreat happens on Labor Day, which is around the 7th of September. So it would take until about the mid of September, though it's not, the classes are every 2 weeks. The material drips through every 2 weeks. So it's not as intensive as the Human Potential Coach Training Program in terms of every week you're getting new content coming through to you. But because there needs to be more space with this kind of work for integrating. And in between each of the parts, so Emergent 1, Emergent 2, Emergent 2 and Emergent 3, there are little gaps of about 3 weeks.
Okay.
In there. So even though it's running over all that time, it would probably be about 33 weeks in all, but it's not like all of the time is taken up.
Okay. And so while we're going through the program, do we need to practice with buddies or with clients as we did with the coaching training?
That's a great question. And absolutely. So this is alongside the live classes, which we'll have, and they will happen every 2 weeks. You will have content from our learning platform, which was, HPCs will understand, will drip through on the learning platform, and that has films and material. There'll be reading requested of you guys in order to take part in. And equally, there are what we call the buddy calls. So, yes, and every other week from when the class is happening, you would be expected to have a buddy call and then be practicing and embedding the skills and the methodologies that you'll be learning.
Okay. And the last one that I can think of right now, would you say that this is a program that requires a lot of time for the week to invest oneself into?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would estimate around 5 to 6 hours, but again, it's going to depend on how much coaching you might be out there doing. Also, if there's a lot of reading, that's going to take more time out of you. Mm-hmm. There will be, you know, there's a couple of books. Some, even though I'm recommending certain books within the content, I'll be requesting that you might read certain, just parts of it. You may not have to read the complete book, but there'll be really relevant sections of it that will relate directly to the content.
Okay.
So I would say on average around 5 to 6 hours, then you might want to consider your extra coaching and any reading that you might be applying in there as well.
Great. Thank you. Content.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
Hi, Rod. This is Mary.
Hi, Mary.
I'd love to know some other practical information, please. And Dante just asked about practice with clients. What is the kind of expectation about practice with clients? Could you be more specific, please?
Yeah, the request is that you engage in 30 hours of client-centered coaching over the course of the entire training for certification.
30, okay.
Yeah. So it's not a kind of massive ask in terms of client, but you know, as you guys know, who've been through the Human Potential Coach Training, there's not all coach training. I don't know that you know this, but not all coach training programs ask their participants to engage in client relationships. You know, one can go through training in some programs and not have ever developed a client relationship. But what we find is that it's really essential if you're going to set foot out of a training and either have sufficient confidence in your capabilities and equally be able to set up a relationship with a client and have a business. So it's just 30 in terms of hours that we would ask to be logged.
And that's over the course of the 3 modules?
Of the 3 modules and certification, correct.
Okay. And the other question is, when are the class times foreseen?
They are all listed in the curriculum guide. I'm not sure I can. Yeah, I've got the guide just here. Let me just open that up. I'll go right to the back. So in Emergent 1, they start on Wednesday, January the 22nd at noon New York time.
Okay.
Emergent 2 begin on April the 21st, and they are at noon New York time as well. So it will all be at that. In fact, they all are.
Okay.
I thought there was a slight variation in there, but it appears not. So they're all going to be at noon New York time. So that would be 5 p.m. UK or 6 p.m. on the continent.
Okay. That's helpful to know.
Right.
I had asked Karen Barrett a more specific question about my own particular situation. So I would just to ask that before making this decision, ideally before tomorrow, I hope that she'll be able to respond to me.
Yes, great. Yeah. I'll chase that up for you, Mary, as well.
Thank you, Rod.
Yeah, you're welcome. So any other questions, any other logistical questions? Because it's really great. I can see that there were pieces. Yes, Janet, jump in.
Okay, I'm not sure if I am asking the same question as Dante, the astronaut, but do we require mentor programs like we did the HPI, or that's not required?
No, mentor coaching is not required for this. It's the only mentor call is the one that you do with me, which is actually bundled in as part of Emergent One.
Okay, and how far can we sign up? I mean, is there a drop-dead deadline that has to be responded besides a discount?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
I don't believe so. Maybe Kristen may know more about that. I'm not sure that we've said anything, but, you know, people will be able to sign up right until we're – look, people can sign up for Emergent One pretty well up until the content is released. The reality is that having it designed in this modular fashion means that anyone who wants to join us, if you decide after Emergent One has begun, then people can still sign up for the whole package, but they would begin at Emergent Two. Okay. And then they would come back and complete Emergent One when we come back to it again, once we've run through the whole program through the first iteration.
And that's what my question is. I looked at the schedule. I don't see Emergent One coming in this 2020. I assume it's going to be depending on demand and when a new schedule comes up. So maybe it's another one's going to happen in 2020. I can't believe I'm saying that. Or 2021, right? Is that really possible?
2021. Yeah. Okay. Well, the schedule at the moment is 2020, and the we haven't posted a 2021 schedule at the moment.
Okay, so there wouldn't be Emergent One next year except the time that starts in January.
2021, yep.
Okay.
It'll roll over again.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Hey, Dante, jump in.
Yeah, so I was thinking, so let's say I take the course and I get these new experiences and skills. Who would be my ideal client knowing what I know now and having these new skills?
Well, I think I'd love to turn that question back to you.
Okay.
Without dodging, aiming to dodge any question, the client is just the client. What's happening here with learning this bunch of skills is not so much that there's a whole new different type of clients. It means that you have a much wider range of skills to bring to whomever it is that you're working with.
Mm-hmm.
So, one of the things about the Emergent model, it can really seem like, oh, suddenly we're going to go off and we will do all this fabulous, very, very deep work. Well, that might not be the kind of work you get to initially with a client. What this means is that you will have the capacity to do that if people are going to come to you, but you will have greater capacity to be able to meet any client where they are and hold a bigger space for them. And invite right. them into a bigger experience of their whole self, their embodied self, in order that their full range of processing, of intelligence, of cognition can be accessed.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this space is. That's what this is creating. One of the reasons why, you know, as you already know, going through the program that. You know, these can seem to be very soft, fluffy and sort of very spiritual or have that kind of orientation to them. But there's a lot of great research around this material these days. And that's something that I think is very important to bring to the party, because one needs to bring that to the more kind of skeptically minded clients in order that they can understand, oh yeah, okay, so this stuff is actually in use, in real proper use out there. This isn't just, you know, I'm not just meditating so that I can feel better, for example, or feel more elevated. You know, that actually this has measurable real world effects. So this way of accessing this larger part of us is not something that that we've dreamt up, but is something that is the real meat and bones of cognitive science these days. And it's that we're also hoping to unpack for you guys so that you can actually communicate this much better, whether your clients are individual personal clients who are just looking for someone with the depth and breadth that you'll be able to offer, or whether it's an organizational client. Because my experience, having just spoken at the ICF Leadership Conference in Arizona a couple of weeks ago, presenting on exactly this kind of material, that these seem to be very much the same kind of skill sets that modern organizations are beginning to look to, just as modern organizations started looking towards, say, mindfulness as part of their organizational toolkit, their optimization toolkit, when the science of that was beginning to offer better perspectives on why it will be helpful for people. Does that help?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I was thinking in terms of, you know, once, you know, I gain the benefits or, you know, the skills and knowledge, like how do I present it to a potential client and what's in it for them, basically?
Yeah. So the communication of this is something that we're going to address within, because I think this is really important that we're able to communicate such a large body of work, such a powerful body of work with real clarity and in a way that people can understand it and and see, you know. So, for example, that piece of information about how much of our processing is under the conscious radar is a pretty powerful piece of information to hold. And to me, it makes a lot of sense, as I said earlier, when you're trying to make habit change and you can decide to do it from up here, but we all know it doesn't always take shape in our life that easily. Mm. And if you've got that much working against you, then maybe we should be communicating there. Maybe we should be engaging the whole person a little better rather than just trying to have conceptual strategies for change that we need.
Yeah, that's important. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I certainly experienced that with clients that, you know, you put a plan in place and then it doesn't click, doesn't happen. Neither part knows why it's not clicking. So that's interesting. It's sort of like intuition and looking under the hood.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Can I, could you talk more about the ICF certification? I recall there for the PCC, there's a 500-hour requirement. Is this training sort of like over? I don't know what the word is. Sorry. You know what I mean.
I know what you mean, Julia. So the training requirements for PCC are 150 hours of ACSTH. With the human potential coaching and this, you would get about, I think, around 170.
Okay, so is that plus the 500 hours? So
500 is client hours.
Okay.
You need 500 coaching hours in order to qualify for PCC.
Okay.
And then the other piece would be you would then need to submit a PCC level, like a recording to the ICF demonstrating the PCC markers. Much the same as this one does for ACC. Nice to see you, Julia.
You too. It's been a while.
It's been a while, yeah. Is there anyone else?
Yeah, Rod, this is Mary again.
Yes, Mary.
And kind of in joining what Dante was saying, I find the program really attractive to myself personally, but I really wonder how this will how this, that my qualities would be, I guess, communicated to others, as you suggested, to make others, you know, to make clients want to know more about my new skills.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is largely why I'm leaning into the science a lot, certainly in the beginning of it, Mary, because I think that helps to create a compelling story for people when they can understand that this, that the reason why they try and reprogram themselves with their best intentions isn't really working. And that there is another way of engaging themselves, which, you know, we can often all know that there's a sense of a dissonance sometimes. We might even walk away from a coaching session and think, that's the idea. That's great. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. Somehow the body has another story. And this is why these pieces of work around embodiment and somatics is so important to the coaching process, because unless we create a kind of alignment and a unity between the direct felt experience and where the mind is itself aiming to go, so a unification between, one could say, body and mind or heart and mind, then the sustained change is not really going to be that likely. So I think this is a good place to begin talking about why this process will offer something extra, something more powerful in terms of clients being able to achieve the changes that they really want to change. So that's also having the embodied change, but also in terms of revealing more about what's going on, being able to find other information about their current assumptions, their current way of seeing the world, and being able to open up those perspectives in different ways, simply by the way you as a coach will be able to hold the conversation and to invite the client into that kind of conversational space.
So, Rod, then, do I understand that you mentioned Gendlin, and certainly his work is well respected, and you also mentioned in this context somatics, so the mm-hmm. work of people like Peter Levine and Strozzi Heckler and I can't remember the Dutch guy's name. I mean, are those practices covered as well?
Yeah, I don't really do much of Richard Strozzi Heckler's work. I mean, I learned a little of his approach. Peter Levine's work is, I mean, his perspective informs the way that we work in this, but Peter Levine's work, the somatic experiencing work, is very much engaged with reprogramming trauma. I think the pathways that they're talking about are the same, in some ways, the same pathways, Mary. Mm-hmm. The same process that's being engaged in here, but we're certainly not teaching somatic experiencing in this. But okay. there is the work of somatics in here, the way one is able to directly engage the body in processes of change. And I need to add to that, you know, one can get in their head, well, so am I asking my client to, say, run in circles or do things? Well, no, we will work on levels with the client. And that's something we're going to be unpacking in the Emergent program as well, is, you know, what level is appropriate for the client that has enough stretch, you know, enough to really take them to the edges of their comfort zone so that they will grow and adapt and they will find something new. But at the same time, we'll be able to meet them appropriately. So you're not throwing them in a completely left field direction.
Mm-hmm. That's helpful. Rod, could I also ask you to say a little bit more about the difference in the content between Module 1 and 2?
Yeah. You mean in the first part, Emergent 1 and in Emergent 2?
Yes.
Well, I can't give you a huge overview of the content in Emergent 2 because Charlotte is still forming that. So mm-hmm. I can't give you a fixed point on that, but on the content in Emergent 1, let me just pull up the material that that we'll be looking at. So certainly in the beginning, where we're having a look at all of the pieces that will create a foundation for this, including the science, including the nature of the body and how the body can be engaged. In module two of Emergent One is where we're really going to look at the science of embodied cognition, the science of embodied mind, and the contemplative neuroscience which informs the field we call presence or presencing.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the some of the key pieces of this? And so this will really help with the communication around that. In module three, we'll be exploring some of the other what we call pathways. So some of these, as we already know, will be vipassana, as in a kind of meditative process. But there are many other ways that one might be able to be in relationship to the unconscious that helps to bring this forward. And focusing is certainly one of the most well-known of these. Session five will be exploring topics such as story, narrative, archetype, myth, metaphor. And the use of language is something that we coaches are really invited into in order to become really skilled in very perceptive and accurate forms of language, but mm-hmm. also language that can help to invite a client into a space that is more creative. You know, we might call it more liminal, for example, you know, that it's not so fixed, and that whole piece around metaphor and analogy in the competencies, as we're told, I believe they're speaking to this, that when we inhabit that area, it allows us to play in a space that's a little looser and might open up more possibilities for the client. Well, we're going to explore more of that territory in this.
Okay.
And as well, how we might work with narrative, as in reconstructing new stories, because this is really seminal to the coaching project, I think. Part five, we'll be looking at what we might call the constructed self, which in the science of embodied mind is a very, very interesting topic, you know, that how we create this self and in a sense a narrative of who I am. And this isn't so that you can go to that depth with a client, but so that you can hold depth as a coach with mm-hmm. this model. And then session six, we're really going to be exploring the integration of all of these pieces into a coaching model that also holds the perspective of the PCC markers. And so throughout all of these as well, we'll have little pieces of, there'll be little films about the PCC markers and ways that these can be integrated into your current coaching session. So you can build one on the other through Emergent One. In Emergent Two, a lot of this work is going to be building both skill and context for people around Jendlin's work. And Jendlin's work can get it's very applied, it's very experiential, but there are it's really nice to have some of the context that Jendlin has around this. So we'll be exploring, you know, aspects of his model, probably through direct reading. And I know Charlotte has some film that she's bringing into that, and there'll be some other content pieces which will help to offer context for what you'll be engaging in the experiential classes.
Thank you. I know that you've written a brilliant curriculum guide, but I really enjoyed hearing your explanation too. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome, Mary. Yeah, you're welcome. That's you know, a lot of this material is still formulating in the, we know what we're doing. We know what the pieces are. But the content is still being added in there, which is why I can't give you a blow-by-blow description of every piece in there.
No, this is really, really, really extra helpful. I'm grateful for that. Thanks, Rod.
Yeah, you're welcome, Mary. Janet, please jump in.
Okay, so I love focusing, and it's one of the reasons I'm excited you guys are doing this program. So my question, and I know it's in the guideline, and it is, like Mary said, is very thorough, detailed information, so I didn't get to finish reviewing it all. But as you were walking through, Mary, the Emergent One versus Emergent Two, I didn't realize you are touching more on focusing, because I know focusing is more the Emergent Two, but you are also kind of touching the focusing techniques, or how would you say it?
Yeah, I'll just be mentioning it. Actually, we won't be, you know, when we're talking about processes that can be engaged that we are aware support the way we're able to access this vast wellspring of seeming unconscious processing and thought, that that we focusing is one of those, but because it's occupying the entire space of emergent two, it'll just be a mention. We won't be actually digging into it into any detail. But I want to cover it a little just so that because because Jenlin's work informs all of this, and you know, his work has been a through line, even though the field of embodied cognition was not even dreamt up when he was doing his work. He is name checked constantly by the researchers currently working in that field, who really saw the value of what he was exploring in his own research. So I don't think we can not mention him, I guess is what I'm saying, and yeah. the importance of his work.
Right. So that makes sense. So emergent one would be taught by you, and is it, are you going to have Charlotte just do emergent two? Is it, or are you going to flip flop together in between emergent one and emergent two?
No, Charlotte really is the focusing guru, shall we say. You know, that's really her big area of expertise, and she is a therapist and organizational coach as well. But emergent two, she'll be hanging out with us on emergent one for sure. Okay. But emergent two is where she will really be leading most of that.
Okay.
And I am accompanying her, and a lot of what we're doing together is then forming the work, you know. So, particularly in the end, in the final session, what we want to do is offer really clear pathways to be able to integrate that kind of work into coaching. Because focusing has a lot of similarity. You'll see a lot of pieces that are very similar, and it can integrate very seamlessly into coaching. But I think it takes a little skill to do that. And that's what we're working together on, is how this seamlessly fits into a coaching offer that clients aren't going to go, oh, sorry, we're doing something different now. You know, that it actually can be, and this is where I'm also saying that it can come in at different levels. And that's what we're going to be exploring, particularly in the integration module.
That sounds pretty exciting. And I would definitely agree that I, you know, when I was investigating focusing and I became a member, and thank you guys introducing me to focusing, but becoming part of the Focusing International Institute member there, you know, when I researched, like, okay, I want more of this. Most of the programs, if I don't know if it's important to have a certification, but it's just to know that you have the skills. They all take 2 years, along with Charlotte's.
Yep.
So, how would you say, you know, this differs from the certification? I mean, I kind of like what you were saying, because that's what I was worried about. I didn't want to go to focusing and learn a different technique. I really wanted to take what I learned in HPI and marry the two, because I see the power of the two. Is that what you guys are basically doing? Kind of saying, how do we take focusing? Yes, that's 2 years, but we also have the skills from HPI.
Yeah.
We're going to marry them two and trying to create a new form wave working with clients. And to me, to answer Dante's question, it's short-circuiting. It's, I don't know if that's the right word, but understanding neuroplasticity, but it's kind of short-circuiting how long it takes to get clients to where they need to be, because now you're diving in a little bit into the messy parts faster, because you have the tools and techniques to get there quicker, instead of, you know, prolonging, you know, months or weeks. I'm not saying it won't be shortcut it, but I'm hoping that it would help with the tools and techniques to shortcut to get clients to get there what they're trying to get to sooner than later. Would that be a right assumption?
I think that's a really wonderful, clear way of describing that, Janet. Yes. And certainly the Institute's programs are generally around 2 years if you're taking their trainer and practitioner programs. And look, if people take this and they decide they want to dig deeper into that, then that's always available. Yes, we're really looking at how we can integrate this successfully into this process of change that we have as coaches. And I completely agree. This is it's a real short circuit of the process. We get to the messy bit sooner, rather than, because really this embodied process is speaking pretty loud and clear, if only we're prepared to listen to it appropriately.
Mm, yeah, I would definitely agree.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a question. I think it might be for Kristen regarding pricing. I only saw the like early bird price on the website. What's the non-early bird pricing? What will it be? And then what are the prices if we do the two modules without the retreat in the US?
Mm. Yeah, that will probably be one I could not give you.
Kristen is gone. Okay, sorry, I missed.
I think if I take a stab, it was like 1,000 something for emergent one, 1,200 something for emergent two, and 900 something. So it's like a $500 difference savings if you go take all three of them.
Okay.
It's on the website. You're welcome. It's on the website. Yeah. So if you click on it, you could say individually or the whole package, and it breaks it down for you.
Okay. Thanks.
You're welcome.
I missed that. Thank you.
I've got a question.
Yes. Hi, Price.
So when we're focusing on focusing in this program, I'm wondering how you might contrast what's offered in this program to other advanced PCC level training programs and what might be left on the table by us spending time learning focusing as opposed to, like, I don't know. That's why I'm asking the question.
So, I wouldn't say there's anything left on the table. I mean, if you say go and do a positive psychology coach training program, then of course you're learning positive psychology and those skills. So it's not, but in terms of actual coaching structure, I don't think anything's left on the table, because if someone's done an ACC level training, which we really ask that they've done to come into this, then they should already have a pretty clear understanding of a good coaching arc and how to coach to that level. And then we build on that structure, the PCC markers, which is fundamentally what any PCC level training should really be teaching everyone. So all those pieces are in place, whether it's in our training program or in other PCC level coach training programs. You know, they will all have slight variance in approach. And that's fine, because we all have our own methodologies. What I think is a value add for a start in terms of present-centered work is that we teach mindfulness as a way of enabling, cultivating a sustained experience of what we might call presence, which is this kind of meta capacity, this meta quality that is so vital to you could say to coaching, but it's to us as being effective humans, you know, being really fully present and available to all of our experience. I think the real add, rather than what's left on the table, is, you know, as I said at the beginning, that what we're really teaching is not just focusing as well. It's how to be in a much bigger relationship with yourself, your own process, and to enable that in your client, so that this whole bigger version of themselves comes online, as does yours. And I don't think that's taught in a lot of other programs. I haven't encountered it anyway. Because from my perspective, my most powerful coaching has a lot more to do with the way I am with people and what comes online in the relationship than it does in the techniques. Techniques are just techniques, you know. So I think that's what comes online with it, with an emergent approach, and that it's really building off the back of this incredible new field of research, which is I opened with, that this sort of cybernetic approach, of which, you know, fields like, say, NLP and so forth, were really informing that. Let's just reprogram the human. And I'm not saying they don't have some impact, but it would seem that there's greater impact possible with this new generation of approach, which is not treating human as some sort of programmable machine, but some interactive process that we can operate on top down, but also is operating bottom up. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And that's what we're accessing here. And it's you know, if I sound a little vague with this, it's because it's not always easy to be really precise about, you know, that even when we're having these feelings, it's like intuition. If you think about intuition, it's not precise when it first happens, but it can formulate into something very precise, can't it? Or sometimes it is. Sometimes we go, I just know this is what I need to do. But there are sometimes that comes to us and it's a little vague, and what the techniques and the strategies we're bringing are ways that help to make that form. Focusing is definitely a great one of those. That's why Jenlin, when he, you know, he formulated his process of focusing, because Rogers was trying to figure out, why did some of my talk therapy patients do fantastically and some just didn't go anywhere? And all the ones who did fantastically were able to relate to this inner experience of themselves in a very particular way. And that speaks to the nature of all of this. And it's why that body of work of Jenlin's, I think, is so important for us as coaches to turn back to and to develop at least some of that skill if we want our clients to really change. Is this?
Thanks, Rod.
Am I?
Oh yeah, totally. This is landing for me.
yeah. So and let it land, because that's part of the emergent thing. Is there sometimes, you know, like it might sort of click up there, but there's a way it clicks in our body. We kind of go, I don't know if I've all got all of that. You know, some of the edges are a little sort of blurry, but something feels important about this, and we know that not just with what I'm talking about, just with other areas of your life. We all have that sense. And to me, that is, and to Jenlin, this was the way we're sensing this unconscious processing. Mm-hmm. And it happens through the body. There's a great quote from Daniel Goleman, the guy who's kind of credited with, you know, coming up with this term emotional intelligence and creating a whole body of work around that. And Goleman talks about this area called the basal ganglia, you know, which is kind of area in the brain. Let me just see if I can find. I have a great quote from him, and he says the basal ganglia, which is this kind of this whole kind of collation of components in the brain, right in the midbrain, very low down. And he says the basal ganglia observes everything we do in life, every situation, and extracts decision rules. Our life wisdom on any topic is stored in the basal ganglia. The basal ganglia is so primitive that it has zero connectivity to the verbal cortex. It can't tell us what it knows in words. It tells us in feelings. It has a lot of connectivity to the emotional centers of the brain and to the gut. It tells us if this is right or wrong as a gut feeling. And I think when we start to put all of these pieces together, something very interesting starts to come forth, right? Mm-hmm. Right. So this isn't just, you know, and there's a lot more to this. You know, one thing we'll be unpacking is, you know, cognitive bias, for example. You know, that sometimes intuition is prone to that. You know, overconfidence, over-optimism. So we want to talk about that. You know, do we always trust this? Well, you know, we're coaches. What we're doing is our job is to bring forth information and to explore it. And that's what we'll be unpacking as well. Is that good? Are we good there, Bryce? You got enough?
Yeah, totally. Right. Thank you.
Hey, Terry. See, you got your hand up.
Hi, Rod. I was just wondering how, I don't know, tentative or firmed up, you know, the PCC, ICF, qualification, you know, for training is at this point.
Do you mean with us?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. I mean, we have our ACSTH from the ICF, which is our units to offer students so that they can go for the PCC level. Okay. And we were, yeah, so that's all. Yes, we already have that. We're already approved. What we're not, there are two different ways organizations operate. One is called an approved coach specific training hours, which is what ours is. And another is an approved coach training program. And the ACTP program, you would take a whole complete package and you would do your mentor coaching in there and they will do an exam in there, which we don't do at the moment. So you would need to, when I say an exam, you submit a recording or you get listened to coaching with PCC markers. Now, we will train you to those markers. You will get enough training units to be able to apply for those. What you will need to do is go to the ICF and fulfill their requirements, which is submit a recording demonstrating PCC markers, which you have to do to us as well to pass. So we'll be confident about that. And the second part is you will need to have those 500 hours of client coaching.
Right. And, it seemed like in one of the emails it was mentioning that the hours, you know, the total number of hours hadn't been finalized yet or approved. That might have been the case.
Yeah. No, that's all. That came through about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago.
Okay. Great. Yeah, I was just reading dated information then.
So we're good, Terry. We got approved about, I think, almost 2 weeks ago now.
Okay, great. And I'm assuming that, you know, going through this training prior to having completed the ACC qualifications is irrelevant.
You would need to have done an ACC level training to come on this program.
Right.
But whether you've actually credentialed as an ACC, no, you don't. You don't
okay.
need to.
Yeah,
No, that's absolutely. All we want to know is that you can coach at that level because when we're doing the classes, I'm not going to be saying, so here's how you coach and here's how, you know, what we're going to do is we're going to build these pieces in. I'm going to say, now go and coach this on that. You know, here's so that you can integrate it because we want you to integrate it into the skills you've already acquired.
Okay, great. Thanks, Ron.
No worries. Great questions, Terry. Thank you. So, Mary, I can see you've got one more. You've got your hand up. We've got a
yes. Just one more point, Rod. I think I heard you say earlier something that really appealed to me, and I just want to make sure I heard it correctly. You said that this program is about how to be in bigger relationship with yourself as a coach in order to allow aspects of a client's aversion to self to come online. Is that right?
Their biggest version of self to come online.
Biggest version. I heard.
Yeah, not a version. No. No, we don't want, you know, what we want to do. Well, the thing is, what we're talking about here and the way we can hold the client will allow them to see their aversions, their attachments, their aversions, their conditioning, and so forth. You know, absolutely. Because that's got to be revealed. Because that's the stuff that is holding them in this holding pattern of their life, you know, where they can't seem to do something else. So, yes, that is what we're aiming to reveal for sure.
I really appreciate that. Thank you. And thanks for correcting me too.
No worries, Mary.
Even though aversions made sense in the way you explained.
Okay. Yeah. Or the biggest version of themselves. Yeah. So I'm going to finish the call here and thank you all for your presence. And I'll be really, really delighted to join together and explore more of this once we get going. And if you have any other questions, please write to us at admissions@humanpotentialinstitute.com. Also, if you just want to write through to me directly, you can always write "Hey Rod" on that address, and that will always be true. Okay, wishing you all well, and thank you very much for your time. Bye.